The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay in conjunction with iHeartRadio and Cloud 10 Media.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Right to an attorney prior to and during any question. You can't afford one, a court appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Detective Overton made you sure to turn to shit.
Warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I did not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're gonna get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And today we're going to continue with the series, and I couldn't decide whether I was going to name it Progression or Evolution. So I guess I'm going to call it both, right? So it doesn't matter, but stay tuned to the end of the show for some real life, real crime announcements. Now, y'all, this is definitely going to be the last part of this series, but it's a good one. It's a humdinger, so listen up. The first thing I want to tell you is when I got done recording part two, y'all know I'm raw and unscripted, right? But I've been getting these case files, and still mostly I go off of memories unless I have some stuff to read out of the case files. Well, on this case, there was so much and so many victims, etc. When I got done recording part two, I realized I left something very important out, a couple things that are very important out, because it was bugging me out. I couldn't remember what it was. Well, actually, I couldn't remember how I came into getting the arrest warrant for the black female that had been at the King's before. It was, you know, all the witnesses seen her there, and I was thinking she was going to be the one that had been mistaken for the black male that robbed the sweet little lady that was in the car, just driving the car. So I went back and I actually looked at the case file. I guess I should have done that ahead of time, but so this is it. Remember when I told you that Vic came back in, Vic Marler, the detective, had come back and we'd got back to the office? This is the day after the lady was robbed in Albany and they put the gun in her mouth and knocked her to the ground and all that. And then later on, her purse was found in the car wash. And then another lady, Kendra Matier tried to abduct her at gunpoint, to kidnap her and steal her truck. And he actually put the gun in her mouth, and she was able to kick him and get away, et cetera. Well, that night, I didn't know what his name was at the time, right? But that evening, I was like, damn, you know, these two people are evolving, especially if they're the same ones from the Keens. They're evolving, they're progressing, they're going to kill someone. So I called all, Vic and I called all the local surrounding agencies. Remember, I called Hammond City Police Department and said, look, just tell your guys if they, you know, see somebody that fits this description, tall, black male, in you know, about 6'1", 180 pounds, whatever, shorter, black female, especially around the business, or they get an armed robbery call, or if you have any cases, you know, just, we're trying to identify them, right, at that point. And that's when I got woke up in the middle of the night by the uniform officer from Hammond, who had gotten a 911 call from the local hotel stating the owner said, hey, I'm about to get robbed. There's these people out here, and I think I'm about to get robbed. Well, they roll up on them, and they catch them. And guess what? This is what I forgot to leave out. The female was there. I think I said last time that the car had gone or whatever. I know that definitely the gray car wasn't there. But when they roll up on them, they're together. It's the black male who lied. They separated them. And law enforcement is called a 107P. When you call it out to the units, hey, there's a 107P at such and such hotel, or two 107Ps at such and such hotel, possible 64G armed robbery about to go down, right? So they roll up on them, no lights and sirens, and they catch them in the parking lot close to the front desk of the hotel. And it's the black male and the black female. They separate them and say, hey, what are you doing here? They gave conflicting stories. She gave a different name for him than he gave. Well, why? Because he had warrants for his arrest. They were able to pat frisk him, get his ID, find out what his real name was, ran him. Yes, he had warrants. And the officer realized, hey, you know what? I think this is what he was talking about. This is what we were warned about. And so they called me. But guess what? I forgot to tell you. They identified the female as Tara Hunter, T-A-R-A Hunter, okay? But they had to let her go. She didn't have any warrants or history or anything else, and I do not know what vehicle she left in, et cetera. I just know that I forgot to tell y'all that, and it's important. So when I go that night to the jail, I interviewed him, and I locked him into a statement. He had never been to Livingston Parish in his entire life and all that, right? But what I also locked him into, and during the conversation, I said, hey, tell me about Tara Hunter. Because remember, they ID'd her on the scene. They got her ID and ran her and everything. But they gave me that before I went in to interview Matier. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. This dude was cocky, right? And you know, thought he was smarter and everything. And I guess no telling how many robbers they had done in all the different parishes, but he was from Centerville, Mississippi. And so I asked him, I just slipped it in there as an afterthought. You know, he was talking after he'd been advised his Miranda rights, but he really wasn't saying dick other than to deny everything, like, ha ha, prove it, motherfucker. And I'm smarter than you, right? So I lock him into the Livingston Parish. Never been to Livingston Parish my entire life. Blah, 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 whatever. Okay, fuck you. I know you're lying now. I'm still assuming y'all. I hadn't done the photo lineups yet. But I said, tell me about Tara Hunter. He said, who? I said, Tara Hunter. And he said, I don't know who you're talking about. He said, I don't know her. And I said, well, you were with her at the hotel tonight. And he said, no, I wasn't with anybody. I don't know who that chick was. I don't know no Tara Hunter. I'm like, okay. So that's when I called in and had the photo lineups done of him, Kendrick Matier, with his information, and a photo lineup done of her, Tara Hunter. And I have all these photo lineups, y'all, and I'll be putting them up for Patreon and convicts on that page. But the ones I read to you about the victims positively identifying Mateer. Well, guess what? Once the first victim positively identified Kendrick Mateer out of the photo lineup and wrote what they wrote, I immediately got an arrest warrant for him for armed robbery. And then I had to have Tina type it up, Tina Stafford Pierce, now type it up, and I had to go get it signed. I think the first one that I was able to show it to, for whatever reason, was the attempted kidnapping in the truck. She never saw the female. She just saw the car, small gray car, speed away behind her vehicle. The only ones that saw her were all the people around the Keens and the girl that was inside the Keens that got robbed. Keens, the dry cleaner. And then the lady, the little sweet lady that got robbed, and they ended up taking her purse, and they lied and said they were from New Orleans, et cetera. But she thought it was a male in the car. So anyway, my goal was to get a warrant that was going to stand, that I knew was going to stand. I didn't know these other people's warrants on Mateer, but I needed them to hold him, right? So took it, swore it out before the judge, boom, called it in, entered him in NCIC. Now I got a hold on him, right? Now we're able to go around and show the photos to everybody else. What happens was, now remember, there was a shit ton of witnesses at the Keens robbery, and every single one of them positively identified Tara Hunter from the photographs, as well as the actual robber, Kendrick Mateer, except for the victim in the Keens. She said, Woody, I'm 99.9% sure that's him, but I can't be positive because I keep seeing the gun. She said, but I'm 1,000% sure that's her. And she picked Tara Hunter out of the photo lineup that was standing outside the front of the store looking around while I was being robbed. She said, I can get on the stand and testify to that, right? All right. So that was a little messed up on my part, y'all. I just hadn't gone back and read it. I guess I should have. But I was laying there last night thinking about it. I was like, damn, how did I not? So, but anyway, went back, read it. There you have it. I don't always get it right. I mean, it's been 16, 17 years, but now you have it right. So let's pick the story back up. So we go in. It takes a time, and Vic Marlowe went out and did several of the photo lineups for me. I did a bunch of them. Calvin did some, I think. And I mean, it was a lot, right? There's a lot of witnesses to run down, a lot of photo lineups to show. You've got to work the case. But guess what? I know he's locked up. He's not getting out. He's sitting in the Hammond jail with a hold for me to come get him. So he can't get out. Tara Hunter, meanwhile, I had to go back and get warrants for her arrest, but that would come just a little bit later, for principal two armed robberies. All right, they were picking her out of the photo lineup, but I didn't know where she was. I didn't have an address in it. I mean, they got her name and date of birth, but they didn't get an address for whatever reason. And so this is all fluid motion. I know the gun guy, the one who keeps progression and evolving and putting the pistol in people's mouths and to their ears and you know, goes from hidden crimes opportunity like the Keens to now carjacking, trying to kidnap people and shit. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, it was a matter of moments before he killed someone by hook or crook. I mean, it was coming. I mean, I just felt it in my bones. But so we go out and we work all this stuff, and I'm like, finally, at the end of the day, I'm like, shit, I'm going to go get this asshole and see if he wants to talk now. Now I had a bunch more warrants made for him. Now I had the warrant for the sweet lady in Albany. I had the warrant made for the lady in the truck, the kidnapping, and the warrant made for the armed robbery of Keens, based off everybody else's statements, et cetera, that you know, saw him in the area, the whole nine yards. Even though she couldn't say 100% off the thing, I still had enough probable cause, which is only 50% plus one, to get that warrant signed. So now I've got all these warrants. So I get to the office, and the other people still in the field working, but Detective Larry Tate was there. And I'll tell you about Larry. Larry been on the job like, I don't know, 30 years, man. I think he retired like shortly after this. And he was a great big mountain of a man and a big athlete when he was younger and stuff. But just a real, real good guy. Now, Larry, I guess when you reach the end of your career, you know, you don't get excited about much. But I'm going to tell you the one thing about Larry is if I had said, hey, Larry, you know, you come help me, then he was coming. And he was a wealth of knowledge. I mean, but he probably forgot more about crimes than I ever knew. But I'll tell you a funny story. We were sitting in the back office one afternoon, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just Larry and I. And I was at my desk working on something, and Larry had his feet up on his desk. And, let's just say he was relaxing after lunch. Stan Carpenter came in, who was the chief of detectives at the time, came in, kicked open the door, and he was in the tip. Now, you get your asses up, and you need to go out there and do this. And Larry taking his feet off the desk, and Stan was digging ass, right? This needs to be done, and this needs to be done, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, like, pissed. And he turned around, he slammed that door, and he went out into the other office, and Larry looked at me. I mean, his desk was right 2 feet away from me, almost right. He looked at me and he said, well, bud, it sounds like they need to hire some more fucking detectives. And he leaned back in his chair and he put his feet up on the desk and went back to his nap. So Larry was at that point in his career, but I learned a lot from him. He's a super dude. And anybody from the LP that knows Larry Tate knows what I'm talking about. But so I said, Larry, I got to go get this dude from Hammond. I said, I know it's late in the evening, but will you come with me? He's like, yeah, bud, I'll come with you. So we ride out over there and get him and pick him up. And I wasn't trying to talk to him. I already had enough out of him. I knew that he knew Tara Hunter. I knew that he'd been lying about being in Livingston Parish. I got all these eyewitnesses. I was going to, build this case and let the evidence speak for itself. Well, check this shit out. We get to the jail. I shit you not. Now, when we get to the jail, you have to bring around the backside through what they call a sally port. There's a back gate, and they have to wait. You have to wait for it to be open from the inside. You drive in, and the gate closes behind you, and you drive around to the side, and there's a back door with what I call a sally port. And you get your bad guy or girl out, and you go into the sally port. You have to buzz through the first door. You enter that hallway, and if you have a weapon on you, you secure it in a locker. You shake your guy down or bad guy or girl down again, and now you're in this glass booth, and directly across from you is the control room for the jail, the old jail, y'all. I'm not talking about the new one. And they're looking at you, and when you get ready, you give them the signal, and they buzz you in. When they buzz you in, then you have to walk down around a corner and take them into the booking room. Well, guess what? When you do that, there's a window and they can see in the lobby. And I shit you not.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Fucking Tara Hunter was sitting in the visitation area of the lobby. And Mateer looked over and he saw her. Tara Hunter, the female that has now been positively identified, is sitting in the, like a waiting area where when you come to bond somebody out and shit like that, or check on the bond, there's a window or whatever. And it should have been as much a shock to me as it was to him. And he saw her. And he said, oh, and I keep walking it down. I'm like, is that fucking really her? I mean, all I had was the photo lineups, right? But it looks just like her. He says, and I'm not racist, y'all. I'm telling you what he said. He said something to the effect of, he said, it's Detective Overton. And he said, I told you I didn't know Tara Hunter, but I was lying. He said that's one badass nigga, and she be robbing motherfuckers all the time. He said, she's a bad nigga. She be robbing motherfuckers all the time. He said, I know her, but I don't know her like that. So you better, well, you know, she's a robber. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, you just go ahead and hang yourself, swim out into that water, right? And I'm paraphrasing, but he definitely said the N-word several times. But now, I mean, I didn't know what the fuck she was doing up there. Evidently, she came up to see what, you know, her partner in crime's bond was and what the charges were, whatever it was. Shit, I hadn't even got to book him in yet. So, end up arresting Tara Hunter also over two counts of principal to armed robbery. Again, why? Because everybody at the Keens, including the victim from the Keens and all the other witnesses, put her there, you know, going in, looking in the windows, and the victim puts her standing outside. And principal two, y'all, that's Louisiana Revised Statute 1427, which just, you might as well have done the fucking armed robbery yourself, right? I mean, it's bad. And then the sweet lady from Albany, and when she was shown the photo lineup of the female, Vic Marlowe did that one. She said, no. And I'll read that one to you. I have her here in front of me. She said, no, that's definitely who was driving the car. She said, I thought it was a guy. Okay, this is Tara Hunter's photo lineup from that lady. She said on March the 29th, 2006, the day of the robbery, this lady, which I thought was a man with pulled back hair, was the driver of the getaway car. She was positively identified by myself, and she gives her name, the date, and the time. So arrest her too, book Materia. And I charge Materia with everything in the world, from the armed robbery of the Keens, armed robbery, and the lady from Albany also had injuries from where he knocked her to the ground. And I know Vic Marlowe photographed those, the bruising. And I mean, she was an elderly lady charged with the armed robbery and everything from her, and I think maybe the injuring of her or whatever. And then the attempted aggravated kidnapping of the victim in Denham Springs, and the carjacking and armed robbery of the victim in Denham Springs, as well as, like I said, the armed robbery of the Keens. Well, guess what? You're looking at a whole lot of lifetimes there, y'all. Life. I mean, they're not going to call it life, but they can give you 99 plus 99 plus whatever else, right? So what happened was, I mean, they fought it. I mean, it took a while. I was actually with the state police by the time this went to trial, but I had to come back as a witness in the trial. I had to come back on several motions to suppress and different stuff like that. And you're going to hear some papers rattling, y'all, while I'm going through this. We didn't lose any of it. We won every, you know, motion to suppress. Now, he hired a lawyer. I think his lawyer's name was Miller or something like that. And she had her own lawyer, right? They were tried together, I think, because of the amount of witnesses and photo lineups and all that stuff. But let me read you my report. And on my report, y'all, that I wouldn't include everything sometimes, just because you can put too much in a report. Anything you write down can be used against you, right? So on a report, I like to keep it simple, KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid, and to direct and to the point. So I'm going to read over this. I'm going to read it out loud to you. This is my actual, I wrote this myself back in 2006. So, and I'm going to leave the names out. So on March 10th, 2006, at approximately 1400 hours, Detective Woodrow Overton, in parentheses, henceforth I, responded to the Keens Dry Cleaner store, which is located on Magnolia Beach Road and Louisiana Highway 16 in the Broadway Shopping Center, on a report of an armed robbery. Upon my arrival, I met with blank, white female, blank, blank, address, etc., phone number, who stated that a tall, skinny black male had entered the store and asked to use the restroom. Blank stated that she observed a heavy-set, short black female with unkempt hair waiting outside the door to the store. Blank stated that the black male was wearing a black hooded sweatshirt with a type of skull cap on his head and blue jeans. The female was wearing a green and white striped shirt and green pants. Blank stated that she became afraid that something was not right when she observed the black male come back around the counter and point a revolver in her face and demand money. Blank stated the suspect kept repeating, "Give me the money now." Blank gave the suspect $70 from the register, and then he forced her to the back of the store at gunpoint and demanded more money. Blank gave suspect approximately $75 more, and suspect then told her to stay there until he left, put the pistol in his jacket, and then ran from the store. Detectives Vic Marler, Calvin Bowden, Larry Tate, Brian Smith, and I began to interview witnesses in the shopping center where the Keens was located. Livingston Parish Sheriff's deputy set up a perimeter in an attempt to locate the suspects, but were unsuccessful. The detective spoke to numerous witnesses in the Broadway Shopping Center who had seen the suspects walking through the area and gave descriptions of both. Blank, white male, blah, 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 address, etc., said that he was parking at Keens when he observed a tall, skinny black male with a black jacket, baggy blue jeans, and a black skull cap running from the store along with a black female with a bright colored shirt. Blank stated that the male was approximately 6'2", 185 pounds, and the female was approximately 5 feet and 145 pounds. Blank went into the Keens, and upon entering, the victim stated she had been robbed. Blank attempted to chase the suspects but was unable to locate them. Detective Calvin Bowden spoke with Blank and gives this lady's information, who is at Advantage Homes and Properties business located in the Broadway Shopping Center at such such. Blank advised that the black male had come to her business shortly before the Keens was robbed. Blank stated that the male asked to use the business restroom and that he went into the restroom and after a few seconds exited and left the business. Blank stated that she went to the Broadway Shopping Center to check on a female tenant when she observed the black male and female looking into the windows of the shopping center. The black male then entered the Keens, the cleaners, and Blank then called Blank at Advantage Homes and Properties and gives his information and told him to call the police because she was uncomfortable with the way the male and female were acting. Immediately after hanging up the telephone, Blank saw the black male run from Keens in a northerly direction. She went to the Keens and found the victim very upset, and the victim told her that she had just been robbed at gunpoint. Detectives were able to obtain security camera video from cameras at the Key Point Federal Credit Union, which is located in the Broadway Shopping Center. The camera showed the male and female walking behind the credit union and then in front of the credit union before the Keens was robbed. On 3/31/2006, I showed a composite photographic lineups to Blank, who positively identified number two in the lineup as being the black female who waited outside the door while she was armed robbed. Number two is identified as Tara Hunter, black female, 10/11/1983. 604 Phoenix Square, Hammond, Louisiana. Victim stated she thought that number five, Kendrick McTeer, was the man who robbed her, but that she wasn't positive because she kept remembering the pistol in her face. On 3/31/2006, I showed a composite photographic lineups to Blank, who positively identified Kendrick Mateer, number five, and Tara Hunter, number two, as being involved in the robbery of the Keens. Blank stated that she saw both suspects while in Advantage Home Properties and then saw them again while parked in front of her business, Styles, which is located in the Broadway Shopping Center. On 3/31/2006, I showed a composite photograph lineups to Blank, a white male, who positively identified Kendrick Mateer, number five, as the person who had come into Advantage Home and Properties to use the restroom. Blank stated that when Mateer left with the black female, they thought the two were suspicious and watched as they immediately went to the Broadway Place Shopping Center. Blank further stated that the other female y'all drove over to the shopping center and called him and said that the heavyset black lady was still in the parking lot and then said the black male was running out of the King's Cleaner. Blank said that he then called 911. On 4-6-2006, Blank was shown a composite photographic lineup, and she positively identified number 5 as being the male who she saw in her business and running from King's. Number 5 is Kendrick Demetric Mateer, black male, 4/22/1988, whatever. On 3/29/2006, at approximately 1400 hours, Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office was called by a Blank, white female, from Albany, who reported that she had been armed robbed by a black man who stole her purse. Blank reported that she pulled into her driveway and that a gray newer model car pulled up behind her. Blank stated that a tall, skinny black male wearing a white t-shirt and blue jeans got out of the passenger side of the vehicle, walked up to her, and stated that they were from the 9th Ward in New Orleans and were lost. Blank said she observed another person that she thought was a male driving the car. Blank stated that the male then pulled a small revolver, pointed it in her face, and then stuck it in her mouth. Blank stated that the male then cocked the pistol and put it into her ear and shoved her to the ground and grabbed her purse and ran to the car. Blank stated that the two then drove away in the car towards the interstate. On 3/30/2006, Detective Victor Marler and I showed Blank a composite photo lineups. Blank positively identified Kendrick Mateer, number 5, as the person who put the pistol in her mouth and robbed her. Blank also positively identified Tara Hunter as the driver of the getaway car. Blank stated at the time of the robbery she thought Hunter was a man because she had her hair pulled back, but there was no doubt in her mind that Hunter was the driver of the vehicle. Blank had numerous bruises to her body from being knocked to the ground, which Detective Marla photographed. At 4:49 p.m., Denham Springs Police Officer Matthew Martello was patrolling for an armed robbery suspect when he was stopped by Blank, who stated that he worked at the Ranger Car Wash in Denham Springs and that he had found a purse in a garbage can near the rear of the business. The purse belonged to the victim from Albany, y'all. I made additional warrants for Kendrick Mateer for the armed robberies of the King's Dry Cleaner and the victim from Albany. Detective Larry Tate and I transported Mateer from Hammond City Jail and booked him into the Livingston Parish Jail. Before transporting Mateer, I again advised him of his Miranda warnings. When we entered the Livingston Parish Jail, Mateer saw Hunter sitting in the visitation room. Mateer then told me he needed to talk to me. I said, go ahead. Mateer stated that he did know Hunter, but he didn't rob anyone. Mateer further stated that he knew Hunter would rob people and that she hung out with a bunch of badass niggers. On 3/10/2006, Detective Calvin Bowden lifted fingerprints from the King's Dry Cleaner store front door. He also obtained a pack of cigarettes that Tara Hunter had possibly handled. Both items were sent to Louisiana State Police Crime Lab for processing in the report. All right, y'all, so everything may not be exactly like I told you, but that's my actual report. But I don't put every single detail that the victims say in or every single witness, full statement, et cetera. Obviously, there's more to it that's not in that stack, but about the victim with the Ford truck and the kidnapping and all that. So long story short, going to trial. They're not pleading them down, okay? Go to trial, and I'll never forget it. We were sequestered after, meaning we had to be separated, and nobody could talk to the jury, and the witnesses had to be separated after the opening arguments. So Greg Murphy was the assistant district attorney prosecuting it, and y'all love the guy. I mean, we never lost a case. He's fire, right? And he's a pistol. Greg gets up and gives his opening, you know, lays out the case and pretty much as I have to y'all. Mateer and Hunter had separate lawyers. And what I distinctly remember is Mateer's lawyer refuses to give an open statement. He's like, fuck it. And I'm not doing it. And Tara's Hunter's lawyer gave whatever statement saying that she didn't do it and it's bad police work and she wasn't there, blah, 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 whatever. So we're sequestered. Trial goes on. Greg puts on his case and put Calvin on about the bank video or whatever, puts me on about all the photo lineups and how I came to develop Mateer and Hunter as suspects and the whole nine yards, and trial goes on, right? Then he put me on after he put on all the eyewitnesses. So he built a hell of a case and went through everything, right? Then puts me on, I do mine, the prosecution rests. The defense gets up, shit you not. Mateer's lawyer puts Mateer's, I think it was his father. After I'm done testifying, I could come back in and watch y'all. I'm no longer sequestered, okay? So I go back and watch. I think it was the father. Here's the deal. It definitely was a Mateer. I think it was his dad, and he said he lived with him, whatever, if I can remember correctly. But this guy's a pastor, okay? Gets on the stand, gets sworn in, swears this is what he does. He's a pastor, da-da-da-da-da, and guess what? Mateer's lawyer asks him, says, well, tell us about, such date. And he said, oh, my son was home with me all day long in Centerville, Mississippi. Okay. You know that for sure. Yes, I do. Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. Yes.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, okay. Turns him over to Greg. Greg gets up and he's like, you sure about that? He's like, yeah, I'm sure he was there. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, when were you asked to testify in this trial? And the guy got flustered. And he was like, what are you talking about? He said, when were you asked to testify in this trial? And he said, he had to admit, y'all, that he had just been asked like the week before trial to testify. Now, this shit had gone on. This is like 4 years later or something that's the trial. I mean, I've been state police for like 3 years. It'd been a long time. And you're going to tell me that all of a sudden you can remember you've never been asked to testify, never given your testimony or whatever. So I'm going to tell you what happened. They went through all of these motions and shit, and they thought they were going to get a plea bargain or something, right? And Greg was like, fuck you. We're not giving you a plea bargain because we got your ass, right? And you need to go to jail because you were progressing, you were evolving, you were going to kill somebody. If you get out, you can do the same shit again. So at the last second, he comes up with these witnesses. Now, guess what? Comes up with another witness. There's a lady, and I'm not going to say her name, who owns we'll call it a luncheon place up there in Centerville, right? And takes a stand and she swears that on these dates in question that Kendrick Mateer could not have been in Livingston Parish doing these robberies and now these separate dates, right? Because she remembers distinctly that he came in and bought lunch around 1 o'clock at her establishment. Get the fuck out of here, right? So Greg waits and lets her testify. And so she testifies absolutely on these two dates 4 years ago, however long ago. I mean, y'all have been years and years that he came into my
establishment and ordered his lunch. So he couldn't have been in Livingston Parish at the time that y'all were saying, because I'm telling you, he wasn't there. Greg gets back up and he's like, basically the same question. When were you asked to testify in this case? And she said, like a couple weeks ago. And y'all, that's after they realize Mateer was fucked. And I mean, his goose was cooked and he wasn't going to get a plea bargain, right? Then here's the real kicker. The very few times I've ever seen this, Kendrick Mateer, the suspect, the guy that's under all my charges, got sworn in and he took the stand. And the judge told him, said, you know, you have a right to not self-incriminate yourself and you don't have to testify. And he said, yeah, this idiot got up there and said he had never been to Livingston Parish. He had, if I remember correctly, he had never been to Livingston Parish. He didn't know Hunter. And he was in Centerville, and basically that was the story, and he was sticking to it. And I don't even remember what Greg asked him, if anything. I think he didn't ask him much of anything, because all the eyewitnesses, now these are all business owners and good people and a sweet little old lady, and all these people positively said, hey, motherfucker, you put a gun in my mouth, you and cocked it, you put a gun in my ear, you know, did this, da da da. And then and all the witnesses who weren't the victims, right? And but they, you know, they, when I was on the stand, they tried to challenge me and saying that I just focused in on Mateer and blah 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 blah. Of course, I mean, it just wasn't believable. Not to, you know, hey, we're sitting in front of a jury of 12 regular people who. When the sweet lady got up on the stand, they're thinking, hell, that could be my mom or my grandmother, right? The other victims get on the stand, they're thinking, that could be my kid. That could be my aunt, you know, whatever. You talk about, you know, the progression and the evolution of these crimes, from him doing the Keens to putting a gun in the mouth and cocking and putting a gun in the ear and then trying to kidnap somebody, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it didn't take long, y'all. They did closing arguments and everything else. I think the jury went out at like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They came back at 5 o'clock. The judge dismissed them for the night. They were sequestered, came back, and the next day they come back guilty. On Kendrick Mateer, guilty of the armed robbery of the Keens, even though the victim said, and she testified to it, she said, I'm 99% sure it was him, but that lady was definitely the one standing out front. But she had all the other witnesses, right? And that put him in the area, and he went into other businesses. They showed the videotape from the bank, which wasn't the best in the world, but, I mean, showed them walking together. The jury comes back on the first charge, armed robbery, Keens, guilty, Kendrick Mateer. Second charge, the armed robbery and whatever else on the lady in Albany who's, yeah, she testified, y'all, and she's a pistol. I'm telling you, she was elderly, and I hope she's still alive. As a matter of fact, I talked to a lifer last year, the year before, who said that was her people, right, and that she was still alive. So, but she got out there, and she, right, she testified, she did a hell of a job. And guilty, okay? The lady, the attempted aggravated kidnapping, the armed robbery of the lady in the Ford truck, guilty, all right? And Tara Hunter was up for 2 counts of principal two. She was found guilty on the principal two, the lady from Albany, that she was a driver, and she was like, you know, saying, come on, just grab the purse, da-da-da-da. She was found guilty on that one, and they found her not guilty on the principal to the Keens, which is fine. It doesn't matter. I came back for the sentencing date for Mateer. I don't know what they gave Hunter, because I didn't really care enough to come back for that one. But I came back on Mateer. This is a young kid, right? But I'm telling you, he was going to kill somebody. He was evolving. He was progressing. He was going to murder someone. It was just a matter of time. And I don't think the surrounding jurisdictions even looked at their cases to see what was open. You know, once this bad guy's off the street and they knew he wasn't getting out, they still got other cases to work, right? But I promise you, they robbed more people in that 19 days. But I come back for the sentencing on Mateer and stood him up, and the judge went aboard his ass and said, you know what, you shouldn't have. Yeah, I think maybe they had offered him some kind of plea or whatever, or maybe like 40 years or something way back. And he turned it down and before the trial. And that's when he comes up with his witnesses after the fact and all that. But the judge gave him like an 80, I think 85, 90 years, something like that. And then something else on top of that. And his people were in the courtroom and then they were, you know, crying, screaming and mad. Well, guess what? I mean, yeah, it sucks that your family member is going away for the rest of his natural born life. He's going to die in Angola, but he's not getting the needle because he's going to kill somebody. And my heart goes out to suspects' families, right? Now convicted people, felons' families. That sucks for them. But he did it. He did it. He changed these people's lives forever. And he absolutely was going to evolve. I believe in my heart of hearts that had I not stopped him and developed him as a suspect and built that case, that he would have killed somebody. Guarantee. Now, I'm going to close it with this. I was working as a criminal investigator with state police, and I was driving out of headquarters in Baton Rouge. And I haven't even gotten my state police stage yet, y'all. So there's plenty more stories to come. But I was driving back. I was living in Clinton at the time, and I was driving back, and I stopped at this little gas station to get gas. And it's been like, hell, I think it was like the week after the trial or something. It was really, really recent. It might have been within days. But I never stopped at this store. And I stopped, and we had fuel man cards, right? You had to go in the store and enter your stuff to, you know, get your gas. So I stopped and went in to do it, and the little girl behind the counter saw my badge and my gun. And at state police, it was different. I didn't have to wear a coat and tie every day. I wore like BDU pants, like tan pants, and a state police shirt with a badge on it. But I, you know, had my duty weapon on, my badge and my belt. And she said, "You work at state police?" I said, "Yep." And she said, "You know anybody? Oh, you know a detective who used to work in Livingston and works at state police?" I'm thinking, well, shit, that's me. I said, yeah, yeah. Well, why? And she said, "Yeah, Woody Overton." I said, yeah. I said, I know him. And she said, "He framed my friend." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "He framed Kendrick Mateer, and they sending that boy away for the rest of his life for something he didn't do. That boy had never even been to the Livingston Parish and didn't even know that girl and da-da-da-da." And I was like, man, I said, you know what? That really sucks. I turned around and I left and I get in my shit. But that's not the end. Like within another week, my cell phone rang and I answered it. And it was obviously a black male on the phone. And he said, "Woody Overton." I said, I always answer investigator Overton. And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "We're going to kill you." I said, "Is that, yeah. Okay, and who are you and what's your name?" I mean, y'all, if you wouldn't believe the threats I get and still to this day do. But he said, "We're going to kill you for framing Kendrick Mateer." I'm like, well, you know what? I didn't frame him. And if you won't come kill me, I'm not hard to find. I'll be at state police headquarters every day, but you better bring a fucking arsenal because you're going to spring a leak, bitch. And then don't let me see you before you see me because I'm going to fucking kill you. Right. And I had to call Greg Murphy and I made it a little incident report on it. It was a block number, obviously. And I didn't want to go through all the trouble of trying to track down whether it's a cell phone. They still had some pay phones back then or whatever. I knew, first, I didn't wasn't worried about it, right? It's, I don't ever worry about motherfuckers that say they're going to do this or that, put it on Facebook or send me all these messages every day. Oh, we're going to kill you and you're so-and-so and you everything you need, but Jesus, oh, well, fuck you. Yeah, I'm easy to find. You better be a quicker draw than me, motherfucker, because I will kill you. Okay, so the I don't worry about those the ones who mouth off and say they're bullshit. It's the ones who are silent that you got to worry about. It's the ones that never say a word. Because if I was coming for you, I damn sure not going to give you a warning about it. But anyway, that's the end of the series. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Just an old case of mine in evolution or progression, whatever. But I appreciate and love each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much for, you know, listening. Please, wherever you listen to your podcast, take a second and hit subscribe. And if you have to log in to listen to the podcast, but Real Life, Real Crime, there's a subscribe button. Whether you're listening on iHeartRadio or Apple or wherever you get your podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, I'm everywhere in the world, people. On every platform you can get your podcast, I'm there. Real Life, Real Crime is there. Take a second, hit subscribe. That way, when these episodes drop, they'll automatically download for you. You'll get a notification and you can listen to them whenever you get ready. All right. In Real Life, Real Crime community app, in the app store, y'all, it's free. It's called a community for a reason. All my pages, it's like we built this thing, this company built it for us. All my social media, but not my actual social media, right? We still have the crew page and I still have Instagram and all that, but it's like, has all those things inside the app and it's free. You can go in there, all the forums, the chats, the different rooms. We still have like the Lanyap page where you can go in if it's not true crime related and list anything that you, you know, your hobbies or sales or videos or whatever the hell you want to do, things that you sell or whatever. We have a Book'em Club, lifers that they've started this true crime book club that they all read and they get in this forum from all over the world and they discuss it. We have the Real Life Real Crime store. We have the daily news feed. We have daily true crime facts. We have, you can earn coins. And then, you know, the more that you interact inside the app, the more coins you get for whatever, right? It's everything Real Life Real Crime. And I go there every morning before I go anywhere else on social media. So check it out. Real Life Real Crime community app in the app store. You're going to love it. It's uncensored, people. Fuck Facebook. They censor me almost every day. Not just for things that I say, but for things that other people post. And I'm eventually going to get away from them. Not for any other reason than, I mean, I'm not, yeah, I'll always be thankful for them. I know that's how we built this and we spread word of mouth, et cetera. I'm thankful for that. But I do not appreciate being censored. I don't like the way the direction that stuff's going. But the Real Life Real Crime community app is for lifers. It's if you love Real Life Real Crime, you're going to love it. Go download it for free. And if you want to upgrade, like Patreon members, if you want to swap over, the subscriptions in the app are called Convicts and it's different levels. Patreon members, if you want to swap over and you haven't done it already, it because it's a hassle or you can't get it to work, whatever, just email Cindy. It's CYNDI at reallifereallcrime.com and she will hook you up. And that's it, y'all. If you are a lifer from Wichita and you want to become an organ donor, you can go to LOPA.org. That's the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. But it's LOPA.org, nonprofit. Take about 2 minutes and fill out your organ donor information. You don't have to be from Louisiana. Certainly, if you're from Louisiana, go there. Give the gift of life, sight, be a hero, be an organ donor. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on murder. Bye. Peace.
Get ready, you're gonna do time.
Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay in conjunction with iHeartRadio and Cloud 10 Media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.